Hello everyone and welcome to episode 18, Funky Baz and Face, Three Brothers Talking Footy. We're going to wrap up the AFL Grand Final from last week. What a cracking game it was. It's pretty much our last podcast for 2018. We're going to have a little break after this. Baz, welcome to the show, mate.
Oh, great to be here. In Faces Shed again. I am still salivating over that Grand Final last week. It was absolutely brilliant. Funky Baz and Face breakfast show, we talked it up and it delivered in spades. Best grand final in the last 4,000 years, I reckon. It was sensational.
Face, welcome to the show.
Hello, Funky. Hello, Baz. Yes, welcome to the shed. 18 episodes, almost 5 months of us every week talking footy and talking a little bit of banter. How good is life, boys?
Yeah, no, it's good for you, mate. Good to be around us.
It's been brilliant this year. We've got a great show tonight. We're going to wrap up the grand final from last week. We've got our regular segments. Baz's Bake is going to just... That's it for 2018. We're not going to have Baz's Bake this week.
We might have a little bit of Baz's Bake.
There may be a late entry for Baz's Bake.
Looks like we've got a late entry for Baz's Bake, which is very good. Would you rather? I'm not doing a would you rather.
Oh.
I had such a grand final edition of Would You Rather. That's done for 2018.
Yeah, you did finish very well. Okay.
So
last
Would You Rather is going to come back for next year, but I have something. We got, Faces Fresh Fines. Yeah, that's going to.
Well, boys, it's not just Faces Fresh Fines.
Oh, here we go.
It's a combination of Faces Tweet of the Week, Tweet of the Year, and Fresh Fines. Okay. A wrap up for the episode 18.
We're going to talk about the grand final, and we've got a special guest with Chris Grigg. He's an inspiring man, and we know that he's fighting MND, and he's raising money and awareness about Fight MND, so we're going to have a talk to him, so looking forward to that. And we're going to go through our normal banter as well, boys.
Followers, Funky.
Who are they?
Well, boys, I went to the Brosser presentations, and I was inundated with boys that are listening to Funky Baz and Face.
Girls
and
also, mate?
No girls, just the boys. The first one was Nick Casbolt. Now, I'm not sure if you boys know him. Gator is he's called. Gator.
Good mo.
Very good mo. He's the heartbeat of the Brosser District Footy Club, and he loves Funky Baz and Face. So it was great to have him on board. And the next one was Alex Stone. Three flags.
Love
Stone. Halfback flanker. Very close to Team of the Year this year in the Brosser and Light. So he had a cracking year this year. He started back with us all the way back in 06. And he's still delivering. Had a son. I think he's starting to mature as a man, as a footballer.
Do you know who his idol was when he was playing football growing up?
Oh, no.
It was the Face Boys.
Now, do you think...
It may have changed. Yeah,
do you think you're still his idol?
No.
Now, when you say that, how do you know that? What did he say to you?
Stoney was a young, impressionable kid, and it was just about... teaching him the fundamentals of football back then.
I don't hear any evidence.
Oh, how much would Face have loved that? Oh yeah, son, yeah. This is what you do.
Yeah.
Well, two-time premiership player, it's quite easy to fall in love with number 14. Thanks, Stoney.
The next one, Nathan Eames. Now, if ever a bloke is punching, it's this bloke here. His wife-to-be just came over from South Gawler and Lisa, and all of a sudden he just had attached onto her. But, he's getting married. He lives in Virginia. Very good footballer, though. Very good.
Good luck,
big, MG. Quick. Yeah, very good football. When he's playing well, the Brosser Bulldogs are playing well. So, welcome to you three boys. It's great to have you on.
Well, boys, it is welcome to them. We've got two more via Twitter. We've got Winto. Now, interesting character. He's a cricketer for the Williamstown Imperials boys. So, I'm guessing it's Victorian playing over there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, welcome, Winto. And to Brett Braytonback. He's a Crow supporter and a listener into Funky Baz and Face. So welcome to our new followers.
I wonder what his nickname would be.
Brent.
Okay, guys, so I'd like to introduce tonight's guest, who's had a wonderful footy career, but now is facing the biggest fight of his life. And I welcome to Funky Baz and Face, Chris Grigg. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Mate. Thanks for coming along.
Thank you guys for having me.
Guys, I want to just run through this man's achievements and his honours because it is a fairly big list. He made his league debut in 1983 with the Nord Footy Club. He played three games for Nord, and it was a golden era in that year, as you know, with my...
You cried in 84.
I love that team.
Good work.
84, he joined the Athelstan Footy Club and played over 200 games there. Now, his achievements, listen to this, guys. best and fairest seven times. Seven times he had to make the best and fairest speech. Yeah, I hope that you mixed it up.
Yeah.
Twice he was runner-up. He won the male medal for the best player in the competition once. Two premierships, and we really want to delve into that because that's the greatest thing you can do is the 95 and 96. Four times association team. That really is a fantastic playing career. Great you must have been pretty happy with that.
Yeah, no, it is not a bad record, I guess, but it's not what you pay for. Like you said, those two premierships, they come at the end of my career. So it was one of those careers where I thought maybe I wasn't going to get there, but fortunately we did in the end, which was great.
Mate, that is a brilliant era of footy in that 80s, that early 80s, probably the golden era of footy. You had some fantastic names you played with, like Aish, McIntosh, Neil
Thomas,
Hull,
yeah.
The Barm brothers, Fosdyke, Thomas, Turnbull, who was in the shack next to us.
Yeah.
He's Greg Turnbull. Who,
Turnbull,
He loves a beer.
He does.
So tell us about that experience, because it would have been pretty daunting to jump into that with those goals at that time.
It was. I guess the thing was, I was a bit young and naive back then, only being, I think it was around about 20, 21. I hadn't played football up until I was about 18 in terms of from high school to there, and I just thought I'd go out. And the year before, in under 19s anyway, ended up not really getting a gig there. So the next year, I thought I'd give it a crack. Got really fit and was able to get a game. But to play, I mean, they were my idols. Always barracked for Norwood all through my life. To play alongside Aish, Thomas, Macca, Keith Thomas, obviously all those other guys there, Fosdykes and so forth, amazing. And a bit intimidating, I would say. It was reasonably clicky out at Norwood. I was pretty well probably, I was an okay player. I wasn't fantastic, but had a good run of form, was able to force my way in there for a couple of games, yeah.
That's disappointing that you say that about the clickiness. You just assume that everyone is sort of best mate, but it was sort of like they had groups there, did they, back in that day?
Yeah. Oh, look, I'm not sure if it was really groups. I mean, I didn't come through the junior system, so maybe that had something to do with it. I guess, just feel there for me to get a game. I certainly worked my ass off to get to the reserve stage, but Nord was a very good side. And when I say clicky, I mean, I think all football clubs have a bit of clickiness there.
Yeah.
I was just one of those ones coming through that probably hadn't earned respect as much as what other guys had.
And then Chris, leaving Norwood, you obviously carved out a brilliant career at Athelstan as well. You must have absolutely loved that, the fact that you've played so many games, best and fairest premierships. You would have made a lot of mates as well.
Absolutely. I mean, you guys probably know as well as I do, football clubs are, I just think they're a big reflection of life and normal life. You know, you've got so many different types of people there. You got to get along with so many different types of people. You got to work your ass off to get anywhere, to get any success. And if you don't, usually that reflects in your results. I had a guy called Adrian Rocco who actually coached or coaches Rostro Old Collegians in Divi 1. He was a good mate there that I made. I got the arse from Norwood in 84, ended up...
What did they say to you? What did they say?
When you I got an injury in my back and probably trying to come back, I just wasn't the same sort of player at that point in time and just wasn't able to hold my form and ended up... Glenn Rosser gave me the talk and said, mate, go and try a club. I didn't have a junior club. And a guy, Andrew Moulds, who was a good mate of mine then, he basically said, look, why didn't you come out to the Raggies? And I did, and Mocha Dunstan was out there, and
good name.
Absolutely, and just sort of fell into place there for the first couple of years.
So, did your nickname, the Doctor, did that come in because you had the bad back at Norwood, or did it come in, was it the Raggies? How did that come about?
Yeah, look, the Doctor is a couple of sort of stories there. I've got really pointy ears. and Dr. Spock used to come out quite a bit, even though it is Mr. Spock, but they called brought out Dr. Spock, and also played basketball there. And there used to be a player in the NBA called Judas Irvine. He was Dr. J. And anyway, you know how things sort of go. And I ended up Dr. G and then Dr. for short. Yeah, so it just stuck from there, that's all.
And you're right with those Best and Ferris. I mean, obviously, that's a big, you know, seven is an enormous number. But the premierships, tell us about that 95 premiership. What did that mean to you? Because obviously, they're hard to get. And Athelstan recently have come close, close, as you would know. And I'm sure you would have been there. They've come so close and haven't been able to get the biscuits at the end. But 95, you obviously came home strong.
Yeah, 95, I mean, that's the ultimate to play. And I think the hard work was done 2 years prior to that. We were able to get a hold of Andrew Jarvis as a coach. Jarvo, he brought with us or to the club Dean Renfrey, Frankie Renfrey, who were actual juniors of Athelstan, and a guy called Paul Zuchens. And they're probably all fairly well-known names back in those days. Now, Jarvo pretty well put a stamp on the club in terms of, I guess, respect and all the qualities that a good side needs. We were able to get some decent young guys as well. We had a good bunch of very loyal guys already playing, older guys as well as some young guys, and just the mix was perfect. So Jarvo we pretty well set it up there, and then I guess Jarvo had to leave because of work commitments, and Dean Renfrey took over. So, and Dino did a good job with us and got us through in 95 and 96.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You would have enjoyed them, and you would have enjoyed the reunion that comes off them, no doubt.
Oh yeah, well I'm not sure if you guys have played in premierships. I hope you have. But it certainly is why you play, and your lifelong friends are still there. And we're talking, you know, 20-odd years ago now. You know, so we're still, I can go up to those guys and talk to them like I met them, you know, yesterday. And what we went through, it's just that bonding that you go through with the guys through the season, and all the hard work comes out positive.
And that's something special, isn't it, Chris? Especially when you go back to back in 95, 96, you've got bond forever. You spoke earlier about juniors at Athelstan. Obviously, a junior at Athelstan that's progressed quite well through the ranks is your son, Mitch. And obviously having a brilliant season with Nord this year, and obviously going back to back himself with McGarry medals. Tell us a little bit about Mitch's career and what his future looks like for him.
Well, I mean, it's amazing when you have children. You know, you certainly, want them to enjoy sport. They pretty well didn't have a say in where they were going to go and play in terms of Raggies. Mitch and I've got my other son, Ryan, certainly they were brought up with football and always came to the club when they were younger. I went to school. I was able to coach them at school and also at Athelstan. And that's just something you do as a father. You step in because you know that you could probably do it better than the coach who has been coaching them, unless they're really, really good.
Yeah.
So I just sort of thought, no, I reckon I can do a reasonable job. And I look at... It's like anything, you kick the ball with them in the backyard all the time and football in their hand all the time. So they just grew from that. So Mitch was lucky enough to play now. We had an under-16 grand final win with some good kids. And going through the system, he was quite a talented player, grew quite early and was very strong. And And obviously, he's the rest of his career has happened, and he's continuing that at the moment. And especially in the last 2 years, I've been very extremely proud of how he's come with that after being delisted from the Crows.
Yeah,
I think whenever I was watching the Sample Grand Final, it was amazing. 40,000 people there, and it captivated all of South Australia too, just the fact that North Adelaide were playing as well, and just to see, because Nord had been the best team all year. But the fact that he played in a losing team, he won the Jack Odie medal, six goals from the middle. You must have been, even though he lost as well, so he would have been devastated himself as well. It would have been quite a surreal experience for you to see him play so well, but ultimately lose on the day.
Mm. Well, I've sort of always told him that the pinnacle is it's a play in the premiership.
Yeah.
I've always said to him that the individual awards and they really mean nothing. That's just a bonus, especially when you've won the premierships. I've always said to him pretty well that the highest honour I believe you can get is at being best on ground in the winning grand final.
Yeah. He's gone very close.
I know. And I know we're incredibly proud of the way he played that day, and he certainly stepped up to the plate. I've always said to him, good players play really well in big games. Ultimately he pulled that one out, which was really a day out for him, which was amazing.
It's fantastic, mate. And This disease that you have, it doesn't discriminate. It doesn't matter how strong or talented or anything about you. MND can affect anyone, and unfortunately, you have been diagnosed with this terrible disease. Can you explain to our listeners about this and some of the events that you have undertaken to raise awareness, which has been just incredible what you have done? Can you just explain to our listeners a bit about that, please?
Yeah. So fit 50. 3-year-old or 53-year-old last year, my partner and I decided to open up a business. And I don't know if you've heard about F45, which is a new gym.
Yeah, yep, we have.
Around. We wanted to, to start something. So we started that up in March last year. While we were doing that, come June, I was starting to get a feel bit of twitching in my tongue and my lips, as well as a few things. I was starting to get cramps in my left arm. So, I was working pretty long hours, we're just sort of putting it down to a bit of stress and fatigue. So decided to go to the doctor, as partners sort of persuade you to do. I went to my doctor. He said, look, I think we better get a CT scan. I guess a long story cut short is you do a whole heap of tests in terms of eliminating Parkinson's, MS, strokes, etc. And it wasn't until probably May, end of April this year that I was properly diagnosed with MND. It's one of those things that it's a time thing, so progressively, you get worse. The neurons in your brain that send messages to your muscles to work slowly die off. It certainly does not discriminate. It's been a bit of a journey. I've learned a lot about things along the way in terms of the amount of support and love that I've got through my friends, family, football clubs especially. Amazing.
How good are footy clubs? Obviously, when you're a young kid, all you want to do is play footy. You think you're just kicking a ball. And as you get older, it's just the mates that you get there and the support networks, as you would testify, is just incredible, isn't it?
It is. My partner actually is involved in the soccer community. And she's amazed at what football clubs bring in terms of when they've got one that's, down and out or needs help. She's just amazed at the support and the love and everything that they bring to help that person or whoever out. Yeah, Chris, unbelievable.
And Chris, when you're going through after your diagnosis as well, was it a difficult decision for you to be really public about it as well? Because there's obviously lots of things you're having to deal with behind the scenes as well.
Yeah.
Was it a big decision for you and your family to say and let a lot of people know so people are more educated and aware of it?
Not really. And look, I don't know. Look, I see Neil Danaher. He's been my inspiration and my idol. The way that first, even before I had MND, I quite admired the guy being able to do what he does. But then when you get the actual same disease, you go, wow, this guy is absolutely amazing. And to tell you the truth, I've never thought of hiding it at all. It is what it is. It's something that, you know, you can't blame on anything. It's not like, I mean, sometimes, you know, you get smokers or whatever might get cancer or whatever, and that's maybe been a possible cause, which is unfortunate. But this MND is no cause of, or sort of there's no reason why you got it. So I don't see the point of hiding the fact, but, you know, to raise awareness, and it is quite a rare disease, obviously brought to the fore by Neil. Look, you know, in terms of fundraising and awareness, the more it's out there, the better opportunities are going to be, for sure.
How good is it what Neil Danaher has done? I mean, like, to have rival coaches, every rival coach was doing degrees at the MCG, dressed up, like, making absolute idiots of himself. And, like, that just would never have happened without Neil's input. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Like, it just shows you that the game really is secondary and that life and mateship is number one. Mm. I thought it was absolutely sensational. And obviously it would have touched you as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, definitely. Again, that's football. And regardless of who you are, there's certainly just that human side of just a normal person's life. And the fact that it is Neil, who's very high profile, but he's a funny bastard. It makes me laugh so much, and some of the stuff he's done. And, you know, even to deliver that speech, under the circumstances, because I know I've had a little bit of slurred speech as well, and he's got quite a, you know, a bad slurred speech now, and to deliver that the way it does, to keep the humour in it, and I think that's such a great way of handling it.
Absolutely.
And Chris, can you tell us about some of your fundraising efforts as well? We can see the Norwood Footy Club, the Raggies are really getting behind as well. We've all watched some of your videos as well. It's been quite inspirational how you've got the message out and educated the community. Can you give us a bit of an insight in terms of what you are hoping to achieve there?
Yeah, well, we've had some amazing fundraisers. It's again, you know, we've got such good support. Got a wonderful friend of my partners and mine, Helen Sampson, who put on a walk to raise money for MND fairly early on. As soon as, I guess, word gets out, people will start to, or do start to support you. So we had a great day for that around the Torrens, raised quite a bit of money. And then Nord, they have a round every year in terms of raising funds for a certain charity. And I guess it was fairly fitting that it was, you know, put out for myself and with supporting with Mitch as well. It was also from Nord and, I guess, going on to the Raggies and Teacher Gully days. Teacher Gully lost one of their own last year in Damien Lane, which was really sad. And he played for Norwood as well. So it was pretty well a support for myself, as well as a tribute and memorial to Damien. As well as that we had, because he played for Teacher Gully, and myself, we had the massive day at Athelstan Oval when Athelstan played at Teedra Gully. And, there was so much involved there in terms of what people had done to raise money. I think we were up to about 43 grand for that day, which was unbelievable.
Oh, that's brilliant. Chris, how can we advise our listeners, and we call them on this podcast our brothers and sisters, so how can we advise them on where they can go? There's the tagline, Fight MND with Doc. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so a couple of really good mates, Jeff Hepworth and Shane Hatchard, sort of started the ball rolling again, wanting to support us as a family and MND as a whole. And they come up with an idea of show us your laces. Buying some laces, Fight MND with Doc. That was sort of the campaign name. And they would sell blue laces for $5 and $3 of that would go to the fundraising. So I think they ended up selling about 1,200 pairs in the end and the supply actually ran out. So along with that, we had the donations. But Little Heroes, it's through the Little Heroes Foundation. It's Fight MND with Doc. That all goes, the money that we raise, it does go to the Fight MND campaign, which is there for research. And that's the one that Neil Danaher is involved with. It goes to the research to find a cure. So if anyone's got any, spare cash, sponsors, that'd be wonderful if they could send that through that link.
We'll do whatever we can to promote the awareness of what MND with Doc through our listeners and spread that message as far as we can.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've got a lot of ideas on. We hope to be involved with the Fight MND campaign. And look, Fight MND with Doc, hoping to get it maybe bigger and better next year. Whether I can just talk in the amateur league for us supporting that through them. John Kernahan's mate I've played with as well. So Kerner's, they've been a really good support of that whole sort of campaign. They donated money as well this year. So, look, the more, amateur league, they've got 10,000 odd players, and then there's junior leagues, etc. So, hopefully we can get some grand out of them next year to raise even more awareness and funds.
Mate, you are inspiring to talk to. I feel like going for a run now. I feel like doing some great. I'm putting down my Crown Lager and I'm going to go for a run. Mate, often you really do see the true stature of a person when they're faced with adversity. And in a sporting sense, I'm thinking someone like Buckley last week was magnificent in that grand final. Serena Williams, not so much a few weeks ago.
No.
But in a human sense, mate, what you have done and can continue to do is remarkable. So I'd really like to thank you for coming on tonight. And I'm sure our brothers and sisters out there will really love what you've just said and certainly will raise awareness and put some money into MND awareness.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. And, hopefully we can raise a lot of awareness and get some more money tipped into the pot. That would be great. Thanks for your time, fellas. Really appreciate it.
Good luck, mate.
Cheers, mate. Bye.
All right. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Boys, how inspiring was Chris Grigg?
Oh, absolutely brilliant. It was just magnificent to talk to the man. What a great guy. What an absolute fantastic guy.
He's doing a lot for within Nord and Athelstan, and good luck to him going forward and the rest of the community that is obviously supporting him.
Really appreciate him coming onto our show, talking to us about what he's actually facing and the fact that he's raising awareness and money as well. And hopefully our brothers and sisters, they got a lot out of that, and if anyone does have anything that they'd like to contribute, please go along and help the cause. It'd be great to help him out.
Well, what we'll do during the week is obviously promote that through Twitter and Facebook and spread that message as far as we can, so please share the message.
As we said, cracking grand final. But how many times have you watched it, Baz?
I've watched it 8 times. I've watched 4 times the whole game and 8 times that last quarter because that last quarter is just captivating. It was breathless. The ball was like a ping pong, and whatever way it went, the other team was going to win. And there were certainly some
going well at home, is it? Just putting on the last quarter each every night?
Bit tough times there, but
Mrs. Harris must be in.
I was actually stopping, pausing, rewinding. It was just there were some villains in there, boys, and but there's also some heroes and some nearly villains as well. So yeah.
Well, let's talk about the game. It was captivating, wasn't it, really? Like, when you look at first Collingwood quarter. Coming into the game, they were the probably not the unbackable favourites, but we talked about it last week in our breakfast, the fact that West Coast, a lot of people were tipping West Coast. We were quite surprised by it.
Yeah.
When you've got your home, you're playing on home soil, you've got an interstate team coming, and you kick the first five goals in a grand final, the crowd are up and about, and Collingwood just looked like the unbackable favourites. To think at that stage you could actually lose... Amazing turnaround.
It was a disaster start for West Coast, wasn't it? To have that against them from the very first start, but considering how they fought themselves back into the game, massive credit to them, especially even in the last quarter, two goals straight away to Collingwood, and they still fought back. So incredible win.
Do you think they would have been thinking about 2015? Like, because a lot of their players for West Coast, that they the players who didn't play well
Darling
and Yeo didn't play well in 2015, didn't play well in the first quarter either. Their resilience is quite impressive.
Brilliant. Yeah, I thought it was just fantastic. And, you know, like you think of the Ryan that we pulled out of a marking contest, that's not spoken about now. But Collingwood was so brave. You know, I know they hit
Darling,
the first...
Darling, the drop mark on the goal line.
What was the go with that? With that drop mark? That was just unbelievable. Like, I couldn't breathe that last minute thinking if they got the goal scored against him, he would have to go over to
Siberia
or somewhere. But it was brilliant.
I thought about that for him. It's like, because still side bottom, rush the ball through.
Yeah.
So they're 5 points down, so they get the kick out. If the kick out wasn't good at all.
No, it wasn't.
If it actually happened to get out... Over the back, and then Collingwood were through. Darling would have... There's a couple of things I thought for Darling. He would have just hated that last minute. He had a golden opportunity to soak up 100,000 people watching him to kick a goal from the goal square. And I actually feel sorry for him. He missed out on that occasion.
Right.
He's never going to get it back.
No, that would have been brilliant.
And he had a very good second half too. So it's unlucky
half.
One single moment overshadows his second half contribution because he was good. There was one stat before the game, and I probably should have said it in our vodcast boys during the week. But if West Coast Eagles across the year, if they have more than 90 marks throughout a game, they are currently 15 wins and no losses. If they were restricted to under 90 marks throughout the whole game, 3 wins and 6 losses. So that was massive that they had to control.
They had about 100, didn't they?
They got over 100, 110. Yeah. So that put them in a great spot. They could play their game the way they wanted to. Very, very interesting the style they play.
I think the game had everything. It so many changes of leads, and the fact that one thing I really loved was Ryan on Maynard. It was a real old-fashioned straight through. Like, it was a real clean hip and shoulder.
Beautiful hip and shoulder.
Hip and shoulder to the stomach. And I was actually really impressed with Maynard as well. The fact that he was clearly hurting. He hurt himself about a couple of minutes after that, went off, played out the rest of the game. He's the nephew to the great Rocket Maynard. Rocket Campbell, I did some coaching.
He's Peter's son.
Coaching with at the Eagles. So yeah, right. We'll get Rocket on, I reckon, in 2019. Now we love Rocket, so we'll get him on, and he goes over and watches Maynard play a fair bit. But that was a great hip and shoulder. It reminded me of sort of like
back in the old days,
and it reminded me a bit of the Dan Hanbury, the rough head on Hanbury.
Yes, a couple of years. It was very similar to that actually.
What were your highlights, Face, from the game?
For me, it was almost that defining moment, that last bit with that McGovern mark, which led to the Sheed goal. Looking at that contest, De Goey stood out the back waiting for the ball to come over, where if he actually contested that time with McGovern and put pressure on, McGovern wouldn't be able to take the simple mark, be able to play on, go down to, I can't think of that next contest. Liam Ryan took that great mark, went on to Sheed. You know, he waited out the back. If it went over the back, he probably would have gone into an open goal and, you know, golden goal. I guess the rest is history. But ultimately, that one single contest in that last quarter was massive in the context of the game.
And I think they had to win in that one chain of events.
Yeah.
West Coast, if they just lost one of those, because they were down, it would have been premiership over.
They won three in a row.
They won three. It was the McGovern mark, the Ryan mark, and their
Sheed mark.
And the Sheed mark.
Big American Cox. He never misses a goal. Never misses. He's a straight kick. He had a chance to put him 8 points in front, 5 minutes to go. Missed. So,
you were surprised by my Cox prediction in our...
He was good, though, in the second half. He was good. I was surprised. You were right the first half. He was good the second half. I thought he came back well.
I think your quote that no big forward will dominate the day, probably Kennedy was the only one that stood out and actually won in position. But he didn't kick, you know, bag of five or six, hit three.
Yeah.
But still, he was very, very good.
In a grand final, three goals is a really, really big game. Kennedy kicked three and Cox was on the way to kicking three.
Let's talk about the kick, boys. Sheed. We talked about this in Funky Baz and Face weeks ago. Would you rather have a kick to win the grand final or not?
We did.
Sheed has got the kick to win a grand final and it was just a beautiful kick. And you know what I love looking at is all the supporters' faces behind, because you've got the Collingwood guys that are just mortified. The Eagles are just jubilant. It's just so good. Do yourself a favour. Go and watch the game again and just play it by play. It is brilliant to watch.
And how ironic that Dom Sheed kicks the winning goal, puts them in front of the grand final. Andrew Gaff doesn't get suspended. That's his wing. Sheed doesn't get the opportunity to play those minutes leading up to the grand final.
Very cool.
May not have been that situation. Two things that pointed out with me, some great tweets during the week. One about Jeremy McGovern and his lead up to the grand final.
Yep.
We always hear about the stories about injuries leading up and what's actually happened during the week. He wasn't past fit until Friday. He had internal bleeding that could have damaged his organs. Two nights in hospital leading up. The other one, that was from John Ralph. The other one was from Max Lawton. He said, every team that has drafted a Rioli has won the AFL-GF within 3 years.
I did know that. That's good.
So, local teams, get on the Rioli brothers and cousins if you can. So, Hawks drafted Willie Senior, won the 91 flag. Don's rookie draft Dean, won the 2000 flag. Hawks drafted Cyril and won plenty of flags. Tigers drafted Daniel, win the 17 flag. And Eagles drafted Willie and win the 18 flag. So there's a link, boys.
But you know what I've been thinking about a lot, and is that a lot of people hated Nathan Buckley in his playing career and his coaching career. And probably I wasn't a massive fan of him. He seems very arrogant. How good was he on that day? I just think we're talking to Chris about how under adversity, how you react to adversity. Well, Nathan Buckley, in a sporting adversity, he was just incredible. You know, like the banner went down and broke and he hugged you know, he's got other things to think about than hugging cheer squad members, but he did that. And then after the game, he was just brilliant. He got everyone and spoke to every player. His press conference was great.
He went up to the runner. The runner was in tears after the game because he thought he cost the team a premiership.
It was a bad kick anyway. The young fellow, Stevenson, wouldn't have got there anyway.
And then one of his tweets about we are the best team for tomorrow. I just thought Buckley has just covered himself in
shaping our future, I think.
Yeah, it was just brilliant.
It wasn't just that weekend. He's been awesome all year.
Yeah.
He was under the pump, clearly, right at the start of the year, about even still losing his job, even though he had a two-year deal. But I agree with you, Baz. That's a great call. He was unbelievable in the face of a loss on the weekend.
Now, I've got something for you, lads. I haven't spoken to you about this, but Sportsbet have got their 2019 flag favourites out.
Gamble responsibly.
I'm sure you wouldn't have checked that out. Who's favourite?
Richmond?
It's a good call. I have been thinking about it. Collingwood came from 13th to get within a kick of winning. No one tipped West Coast. Some people tipped West Coast to sit well outside the eight this year. Richmond were 13th the year before to win the flag. Western Bulldogs, no one tipped them the year before. So I reckon if you look at this year's results is a really misleading way of predicting next year. You almost have to look outside of how this year has occurred. So, I mean, history tells us in the last 3 years, do you look outside the eight to see who can possibly win?
Well, I'll give it to you, boys. So the premiership winner is Richmond at $4.50, and then Collingwood at $7, Melbourne at $7, West Coast at $7, GWS at $9, Sydney at $12. I still haven't heard Adelaide's name yet. Adelaide at $16. Obviously with the Tom Lynch signing, Richmond are, you know, are hot favourites again. But I tell you what, you wouldn't be bad in thinking that West Coast could go back to back, because that was just a brilliant performance for them, and they're going to get Kelly from Geelong as well. So
One thing I heard about in the interviews was how tight they were as a group, and the feedback and media here during the week is more less about who's the best performing team, but who are the teams that are so cohesive with each other they'll do absolutely anything to get over the line. That's got a lot to do with it. So clearly on the Port and Crows perspective, you know, our team's got a lot of work to do to bridge that gap with the Richmonds and West Coast and Collingwood.
Did you notice, boys, after the game?
Yes.
They've won their biggest game of their career.
Baz, I know where he's going with
this. The biggest game of their career. They've celebrated really hard. They've gone into the rooms and they've gone absolutely crazy with all their stuff. And then they had the decency. They've showed the respect and they've tidied up the whole place, as was the call from Funky, episode 2 or 3, Funky, Baz and Face this year. We've seen a lot of examples.
I think they're just trying to make sure that their persona is...
Baz, what did you think we did in 2006-07?
I can't see us cleaning it up.
So you guys, you were hot on me for this, and we've seen some good examples.
Yeah, so our brothers and sister, Joshy Bray, got on top. And
he did. He loved it. He loved it. Very, very good. So thanks for that, Josh. Yeah. So I'm going to get cracking into it, boys. Yeah, would you rather a shell for 2018? I can't go better than last year.
Agree.
But I reckon I've got something better.
Very good.
I have, in Baz's bake, we've talked about teams of the year. You've said your team are wankers, your team are legends, all that sort of stuff. So I'm going to go with Funky, Baz and Face, our brothers and sisters team of the year.
Oh,
how good is that? That's
so
brilliant.
There's a couple of conditions. So some people are going to get a little bit upset. They're not in the team of the year. I tell you what, this is a bloody good team. The forward line is outstanding, and maybe your forward line doesn't play that well.
Can I just say, before this is read out, this is all on Funky. This is not from
Baz
and Face.
Nothing to do
with
Baz and Face. Is there a Funky, Baz and Face? Do we get a position, or is it more about our brothers and
You're
sisters?
You're going to have to wait to find out.
Here we go.
So, a couple of conditions. You need to listen to us.
Yes,
and I need to be able to see that you can listen to us, and so you've probably listened to us on Anchor, through the Anchor app. The other one is you've had some sort of banter with us, or you've liked us on Twitter or Facebook or something like that.
Yep.
Have a listen to this forward line.
All right.
Go.
Forward pocket, Roger James.
Oh!
23 goals in one game.
Oh.
And you know who's next to him? The big G, Matty Gale.
Yeah!
Who's commentary legend status.
Good start.
20.
Get it down there. We're going to kick 40 goals.
Yeah.
Oh, good start.
20 goals in one game. You think there's 43 potential goals there.
When's this team actually playing?
Yeah. In the forward pocket, Pistol Pete. Pistol Pete, he's been all over us this year.
No offence, Pistol Pete, but you're probably going to struggle for a kick.
I reckon he's a potential tagger. He's tagged us all year, so he's a potential tagger. Daniel Healy, 5-time premiership player of the Central
Region
Football Club, St Kilda. He follows us on Twitter.
He'd be rapt that he's got our team of the year.
Yeah, he was a first-round draft pick for St Kilda.
Ex-teammate of mine.
Yeah.
We both went in different directions.
And he's our half-forward flank. Centre-half forward, one of the most difficult positions. Brent Ritchie.
Oh, Brett Ritchie.
Brett Ritchie. Yeah, it is a good call because he's listened to us all week. He came up with some outstanding stats. He told us that West Coast are going to win.
He did.
West Coast did win, and a lot of the reasons that he predicted.
He did say the midfield's going to dominate, though.
That's okay.
Yeah.
On the other half-forward flank, opposite Brent Ritchie and Daniel Healy, Donkey Magoo.
Oh, yeah, on your donkey.
For the name of Donkey Magoo. Now, I'm just thinking about it. If the big G is commentating, Donkey Magoo picks up. Like, wouldn't you just love to hear Donkey Magoo? Dennis Cometti. Dennis
Cometti.
On the wing, Jason Earl, the doctor.
The doctor.
From Malalasa. He's listened to every episode. He's given me a lot of banter to say listen to.
Very
cool. In the middle, Scott Burns.
Oh, Burnsy.
Collingwood captain, 265 games.
Oh,
AFL legend.
That's a lock, that one.
On the wing, Bronnie Venning.
Very good early
listener.
Yeah.
Yes.
And good feedback. She said, get rid of the song.
Yes.
The song was gone. So good feedback. I quite like that.
Yeah.
Halfback flank, Chris Grigg.
Yeah.
Inspirational.
Inspirational.
Love the chat with him.
Nothing's getting past the halfback.
Seven best and fairest, male medal, two-time premiership player. And just...
This is a good team.
That pales into insignificance with just the absolute courage that he's facing off the field. So,
yep, well done.
A lot of inspiration for him. This is going to have some controversy centre half back. Emsy.
Yeah!
Oh! David Emsy at centre half back.
Yes, Mark, I should be there. Yes.
So, I haven't played footy for over 20 years.
Put me at centre half forward,
Mark. I've played in the vintage rules this year, 10 minutes in. I hadn't got near it, and I got a lovely handball from Emsy. And it's like, I owe that man my first stat after 20 years. Emsy is in.
Hold up the defence, Emsy.
Half back flank, Andrew Crowe. Andrew Crowell. Yes.
The Diggity Dog.
Yeah, the Diggity Dog. He follows us on Twitter. He's the head of welfare and wellbeing, and he also passed our interview with the Big G on through the Brisbane Lions boys, and they were pretty happy with it. In the back pocket, I've got two people in one position. I'll tell you why. I've got Rusty Ump and Kristen Thomas here.
Yeah.
The reason why is
they're married.
They're married, and they listen to our podcast.
Oh, no, mate, you listened.
They start the weekend off listening to Funky Baz and Faith, that's so awesome. They're in one position there.
Enjoy the back lines together. That's awesome.
Full back, Ashley Ross, and he's our captain.
Oh.
So he's made our T-shirts. He's put our faces on there, and AFL Grand Final breakfast. Mate. He's worn our T-shirt.
Yes.
Tweeted out amongst his followers.
In Sydney.
Great start yes. to AFL Grand Final day with his kid wearing our T-shirt.
Yeah.
There could be no more commitment than
great
what
work,
he's done. Back pocket, Patrick Keane. Patrick Keane is a half-back flanker for local footy. He's given us an inside.
Good interview.
So yep. he's our back pocket. He normally plays half-back flank, if you remember, but he can't fit in the half-back flank in this team. our followers, Ruckman, Ross Christie.
Big Roscoe.
Yeah, he gets in there. Let's be honest, he's lucky to be in there, but we need a Ruckman.
And very good-looking, too.
Yeah, I knew you'd say that about him, so he's our Ruckman. Our Ruck Rover, in old terms, 142 listens for our episode, Josh Bray.
Yes.
He's our vice...
Eight premierships.
He's our vice captain. 142 listens for his episode.
Get around him.
Our Rover first interviewee, Maddie Steltzer.
Ooh, very good call.
Very nice.
Smash It Fitness. Yes.
On the bench.
She was going to be a sponsor too, boys. We should follow that up. Actually.
Yeah, we do need a follow. I think he said he was going to sponsor us if someone
actually joined Smash
It
Fitness.
Yeah, which obviously no one has. On the bench, Rick Lane. I just wanted to put him on the bench. So he came in, he promoted Vintage Rules. I just wanted him on the bench. If we played a game, I want to see him jump the fence and not pay the admission money. Also on the bench, Faces Tweet of the Week. Tweet of the Week. we put it on the bench for the year. Funky Shit or Shines on the bench as well because we bench it during the year.
Yeah, you're honest.
Christian Bray is on the bench.
Yes.
He's listened to just about every episode. I can see it through Anchor.
Yep.
He hasn't shared it through social media, so that's something that he can work on for next year to get on the field.
Yeah.
That'll be in his exit Tara Gallarello as well.
And husband Matt.
Which means she's playing. I just couldn't find a position for her, but she's been a very good listener. Emergencies, Maxine Brozzi.
Yeah.
So I listen to every week. They even sat in the car while we recorded an episode.
Don't want them to talk, though.
Like, their ideas and some of the suggestions, we just want to remove them. If we want to get into the retirees market, maybe we'll bring them in, but we don't want to at the moment. Let's be honest. Our vodcast, our YouTube clip of the AFL Grand Final breakfast, we had 43 views, boys.
Yeah.
I was shattered with that. That's an emergency. It doesn't make the team.
Yeah, I agree. Yep.
Umpire, the 2018 Golden Whistle winner in the Brosselite.
Rob Polito.
Absolutely outstanding.
That's a great team.
Apologies. Ooh. These people couldn't make our team. It's a tough team. They've got some incentive for next year. And this is the first one's going to be controversial. And this is going to hurt Matthew. Jess Adamson.
No, fair enough.
So she likes us, but she's got a big following.
She needs
to promote Funky Baz and Face more. If she promotes Funky Baz and Face, she's going to be in the team for next year.
I totally agree.
Because there's a lot of upsell there. So she's
like
sorry,
it.
Jess, you don't make it.
No.
Jock Cameron.
Yes.
So good player, but doesn't make our team.
No.
Jimmy Norris, unlucky. He's unlucky, but I can't.
Very unlucky.
Why is that?
Look. The strength of the team is the ones who miss out. He's been excellent all year, but there's some upside there.
Gee, that's unlucky.
Tell you what, there's going to be a spill here with our leadership.
The Walkerville Footy Club.
Yeah!
They're out! And the Goodwood Saints under-10s are out too because they pretty much brought our introduction every week.
Yeah, I agree with the Goodwood Saints.
Yeah.
Very unlucky, Walkerville.
Nah, they're out.
Joseph Frick and the boys there at Walkerville.
They don't know who you are, mate.
They're running a good... And just to... as this will be broadcast on Saturday morning, they're running the Bunnings Sausage Sizzle at Kent Town. So if you need some screws or just need a snag, go
are
down to
Are you getting
Kent
behind
Town.
The barbecue face?
I might not be.
Exactly.
But good luck to the Catters for 2019.
Radelaide Rob, great Twitter name.
Number one. He was our number one.
Very good. Yeah, so he can promote us more next year.
Yeah.
Simon Bentz listened to us a lot. Good mate of mine
Benty.
As well.
Yeah.
Benty.
Copper and Chockball as well.
Chockball.
Yeah. Yeah, Copper's on the sidelines. Very good.
That's the 2018 team.
Really enjoyed that.
Well done, mate. Well done, boys. That is brilliant. I'm very happy with that. Now, I tell you what, I was happy with that, but I'm not happy with this, boys.
Not happy.
Not happy, boys. I tell you why I'm not happy is that what is going on. Now, I try not to make this too crow-centric. Our face over here is very crow-centric. What's going on with our Adelaide Crows and the fact that we don't recruit big names, okay? All the other clubs, they put out the big money. We say, we're going to pay you $4 billion for 18 years to come into our club. We give our little $400,000. There you go, mate. Have your little pay packet. But what is wrong with us that we don't pay the big money? Why? Do we not have the model? I want to have a meeting with Fagan and ask him, what is going on, boys? Like, Collingwood have got going for May. Richmond have signed up Lynch. Western Bulldogs are going hard.
Wingard.
Wingard. Like, it is unbelievable. I'm not sure why it is, boys, but I think maybe, is it because of the model? I want to hear your feedback on it. Like, our model is that we even it out over all the players. We don't have, you know, a guy that can't kick at the end. We have all sort of consistent players like McKay and, you know, Douglas are on decent money. Those sort of guys that aren't in your top. I don't know. Other clubs don't have that. What are your thoughts, lads?
When Dangerfield left, there's a potential of $1 million in the cap there to either get a gun. Maybe it is the philosophy of we'd spread it so we have greater depth rather than going for the guns. I guess the North Melbourne model is get three absolute guns and pay them a ridiculous amount of money. You know, is that going to...
Richmond have got Martin that's on $1 million+ too. So they've got... Two, three. Mm.
What about Melbourne? They paid Lever massive money. Now they're going for May.
Yeah.
They've got a sensational team. I don't get it either. Is our salary cap smaller, Face?
I did hear during the week that Port are paying at the lower end of the salary cap too. So they've got the ability that they're not going to go out and lash out on Wingard by the sound of things. He's going to go to Western Bulldogs because he wants $1 million a year. I think it's part trying to create that community within the team that no one's on massive money and they just get your standard of
place. Why is our players leaving then? So yeah. Anyway, boys, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out this next few weeks. Like, how well does the AFL do it? If the season finishes and then we go into trade and then we'll go into draft and then we'll go pre-season, the year never really stops.
No, it doesn't.
Funky Baz and Face are going to have a well-earned rest, but we're going to come back bigger and better to get bang into it, and we're probably going to do a draft special in a couple of weeks.
Probably the interesting question for you is, would you pay Polak or Shiel $1 million to play for your Crows?
Yeah, I would, actually. Like, I mean, it's easy for me to say because I'm not doing all the money, but I just think we need that star power. We don't really have that, do we?
Is Polak worth $1 million?
No, Polak's not. I'd definitely get Shiel across for that. You know, you probably don't see him enough because he plays for the Giants and we don't see enough of their games, but he to me, I would prefer him.
Well, closer to home, I'll give you one. Wingard, would you give him $1 million?
I reckon I would. Crows? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think he's got so much upside to him.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's been a bit bored playing at Port.
Yeah.
Like, I think so if he'd you
be
got him...
He'd be the Crows' highest paid player.
Yeah, he'd have something to prove.
Yeah.
I think he would just, like, imagine him playing against Port. Oh, that'd be sensational.
That would be good.
I would like the Chad.
What do you got, Face?
Well, boys, obviously alluding to it at the start of the episode, a bit of a combination. It's been 18 weeks of episodes. Started off with tweets, now we're going on to Face's fresh finds. So we're going to start off with a couple of tweets, and this comes from 20 years and counting, clearly a Crows man. He said, this is talking about the trade. So a couple of trade tweets here. The trade hasn't started, and I'm already sick of hearing the following words, sayings, and things. Club of choice, destination club, officially nominated, hardball, breaking news, missing piece, premiership window, Terry Wallace and Sam McClure. So clearly, it's quite ironic, isn't it? They're playing trade radio, and it hasn't even started yet. So it's been a week of
I listened to 20 minutes of it, and I thought it was the most ridiculous thing I've heard on radio.
I actually quite like it, actually. I quite like listening to it, actually.
It just replay after replay saying.
Another one from the AFL actually tweeted out that Jesse Hogan has toured Fremantle's facilities.
Oh, I like this.
And Richard Hines came out. He's a broadcaster of the ABC and ABC Offsiders. He said, This should definitely become a dating term. She's not my girlfriend. We're just touring each other's facilities. So I thought that was quite funny.
Oh, no, I've got a one on that, which may not is there. It took him 4 hours to tour the facilities, and someone said, could he smoke in a dart every 5 minutes? Going to go outside.
Maybe I should have used that tweet instead, because I've got a hell of a lot more laughs. Boys, not sure if you've seen this during the week, changing sports, but to the 36ers. So we all know about how Mitch Creek went overseas to try and chase his NBA dream. And then we got to Kevin Brooks, who runs a basketball clinic back here in Adelaide. A lot of animosity about Kevin Brooks, about Mitch Creek and his leaving, and obviously being signed by the NBA.
Very good looking man, Mitch Creek. Very good looking man.
It's good to know. It was about that sign-off on fee and whether Adelaide would get anything to stop his transfer. He's tweeted with Kevin Brooks during the week. The crux of the story is that he tweeted a very historic photo of the Sixers celebrating the 86, 98, 99, what are they called?
Championships yep.
that they win in basketball. He said about taking the painting off the wall, I would have flown back to dig it out of the rubble myself. The wall is historic, just like the rest. Hope you will. And Kevin Brooks, who's actually an assistant coach at the 36ers, said the wall of names will remain. Our spirit lives on, but our club culture is dead. I think that's fascinating that a current assistant coach has said that the club culture is dead.
If that was an AFL, he would be sacked.
Yeah, that's right.
He'd be sacked. It's not talked about at all.
Yeah.
Incredible that that's, you're right, gone unnoticed. Number four, boys, a lot of talk about The Bachelor this week and the Honey Badger and his decision. We talked earlier in the week about Alf and Elsa and how he's a great lookalike.
Good on him, the Honey Badger.
If he's not a love, mate, he shouldn't have to pick anyone. That's fine.
I heard today he got paid a six-figure salary. He gets to tour all these places, gets to flirt with all girls, and he's still a bachelor.
Yeah. Oh, fuck it. That's my tweet.
That's great.
Nick Cummins got 6 figures to be the bachelor. Got to spend 2 months flirting with gorgeous women, a free trip to New Caledonia, and gets to remain a bachelor. How good is that with the clap hands? So well done, Funky. The last one, boys, is from the Yarra Junction. Now, this is an AFL game that's happened in Victoria. Yarra Junction are an hour and a half east of Melbourne. And it was about Yarra Junction who won they were the premiers. They beat Seville by 16 goals. So it was a massive smashing. But it's more the story about a supporter of Yarra Junction called Andy Bairstow, and he received a premiership medal after the game. I've got some audio here that we can all listen to.
We're now going to...
Sorry about that. 1 second. Here we go.
We're now going to present the winning team their medals. But first, we're going to make a special presentation. The first medal goes to Andy Bairstow.
Here's Andy. Gets his medals. Pumps the air.
So who was Andy Bairstow?
So sorry about that. So Andy was born with Down syndrome and served as the Eagles' water boy for the best part of 20 years. He has waited 28 years for this team and this club to win a premiership side. He basically, the video shows him jumping up on stage, the first man to get the medal before all the players.
That's brilliant.
He kisses the medal, jumps on the steps. He's in the premiership photos with all the boys. All he wanted to do was just win the big one with all his premiership teammates. So hats off to Andy for that.
Great story.
And that's what Funky Bazzard Face is all about, is about the community and what our local heroes can do within our sides, even if it is in Victoria. The last one, boys, I've got is Tess Madgen. Now, obviously, we've spoken about Jack debuting for Collingwood this year. We've got Benny, who's over in, I think, Germany now, playing basketball in the Bundesliga League. Now we've got Tess Madgen, who, following knee and ankle reconstruction, she won a silver medal for the Australian Opals. So she played with Liz Cambage and all that side. They lost to Spain, I think it was. Probably USA. During the week. So, yes, sorry, lost to USA 73-56 in the gold medal decider. So congratulations to Tess. Williamstown, local girl, to be over there and playing in the decider. Congratulations to her.
Talented family, the Imagines.
Absolutely.
So we're pretty much going to wrap it up for 2018. We might come out with a couple of things. We haven't really thought too much or planned it. But that's pretty much the AFL season for 2018. Every week, boys, I've loved getting together with both of you and sitting down and having a chat, talking about footy, unearthing the local legends and having a bit of banter. It's been brilliant to do that, so I've loved that. I've got so much out of talking to and unearthing our local legends. I reckon that's been a brilliant thing that we've done this year, to talk about people who can achieve so much, whilst also there's so many other things to do as well. It's easy to say, no, I won't do that. But, you know, you got your family, you got your work, and for people, we've been talking to people who have achieved a lot just through local footy, and Chris Grigg tonight was just outstanding outside of footy as well. Talking to the people that we've talked to this year has been outstanding. And the fact that people actually press play and listen to us idiots
this week.
Remember, if you remember episode one, we actually said that if we'll probably get 3 plays or we might get 10 plays, it'll be us playing it a couple of times each week and maybe our parents, that hopefully it's given people a bit of banter and hopefully they've enjoyed listening to us.
Thanks to you, Funky. Baz, on behalf of us two, Funky came up with the idea to set this up for us to catch up. So thanks, Funk, for getting this up and going and getting us done with technology, even though we've had a couple of bad moments. But clearly we're getting better. And if you're hearing episode one, just don't listen to it.
I'm looking forward to next year too. We're going to get together, have a bit of a planning session, work out what 2019 is going to be like.
If our brothers and sisters have got some ideas of what they want in 2019. Yeah.
Anybody wants to recruit me, well then you boys can bugger off.
I thought you were going to talk about climate, mate, if they're a bit hot or a bit cold.
So thanks for listening this year, everyone. It's been awesome, and we'll be back at some stage later on.
Cheers, Funk.
See you, boys. Thank you. Oh.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.